talk today about contending for the faith. So if you can throw that slide up there, yeah. I don't know that's what I look like when I fight the devil, but I need to go to the gym more. Okay, so I almost tripped over that. Let's go to Jude. I mean, you know, Jude is one chapter. We're going to cover the whole thing today in like 20 minutes, 25 minutes. Jude, you know, sometimes depending on where your walk is with the Lord, some people like to go to the quick ones because they can go, I can get a whole book of the Bible done in like 10 minutes. Actually, in my opinion, some of the shorter letters, like six chapters and beneath, like Ephesians, Galatians, Colossians, Jude is only one chapter, have some of the meatiest stuff in it. Because you got to remember, it's just one letter. This is a letter from Jude, which is assumed to be the half-brother of our Lord. Despite what you may have been taught in Catholicism, Mary and Joseph had more babies after Jesus. Okay? There's several scriptures to prove that. Somebody actually came up to Jesus at a meeting and said, your mother and your brother and your sisters are standing outside waiting to see you. And Jesus' response, I'm believing is in love, said, my mother and my brother or sisters are those who hear the will of God and obey. Amen? But they were not talking about some figurative mother, brother, and sisters. He had siblings. So Jude is believed to be one of those. So let's start right at the beginning. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to those who are the called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy and peace be multiplied to you. How many want mercy and peace multiplied to you? Amen? If you are of the called of God, then receive that word today. He says this. He says, beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation. So, Jude set out to write to them, to encourage them in salvation. He says, I felt the necessity, or in the Greek, it means he was compelled. Instead of writing about salvation, he's compelled to write appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all handed down to the saints. Contending for the faith means to fight in opposition to, or literally it can be meaning competition. But it's saying that it's an active, ongoing thing. How many of you know that with the way that the world is going, and I don't want to just act like it's been that way in the last year and a half, even though it has. If you notice just throughout history, things are speeding up. And the Bible talks about that in the end days, it will become more frequent. It won't just be like an earthquake here, a hurricane there, or that kind of stuff. Things will speed up. And Jesus also talked about that the entire world will get to a point where it hates believers. So he's saying, with all of the temptations and the things of the flesh and stuff, you have to contend for the faith. You've got to fight for it. And Jude is actually writing to the churches, talking about that you or the church may be healthy, but inevitably, Satan is going to send people that are going to slip in to get you to move away from the faith. Now, I can tell you that that's happening. And again, I'm not picking out on this one sin. You know, Christians get attacked on this all the time, but it's just a relevant cultural issue. I can't tell you how many churches across denominational lines are now basically saying that homosexuality is not a sin. If that's new information to you, it is. Now, that's not like this sin that's really high up in the air and lying is really down on the bottom. All sin is sin. But make no mistake, it's not like, you know, 20 years ago it all of a sudden stopped being sin. Amen? Just to be clear, any sexual relationship outside of the context of a man and a woman who are married is sin. I feel like that needs to be said because a lot of people have forgotten that. I'm not mad at you. I love you just like I love people that tell lies. I love people that murmur. I love people that complain. You're all sinning. And we're going to see that in Jude today. But what I'm saying is, it's not God has like all of a sudden made those things okay. in the same way that God in the very beginning made them male and female. He didn't make them non-binary. He didn't make them, I don't even know, there's like over 50 different genders on the list. It's all deception and lies. Amen. You have to know that. If you're not going to hear the truth here, you're not going to get it out there. This whole idea that I'm a woman trapped in a man's body is bogus. It's demonic. It's confusion, and the Bible says that confusion is always from the enemy. And I think that there is a lot of parents out there that need to repent for encouraging their children in this. Amen. Why are we talking about this? Because there's a part in here that is actually very relevant for today. Well, it's all relevant for today, but something that's very particular in our schools today. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed. Jude is talking about people who are creeping into the community, or what we would call today as the church. Those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness, or basically a license to sin, and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. So people that teach grace, how many of you know, if you've been coming here, I teach grace radically here. Okay, but you've never heard me tell you that you are under grace so that you can go out and live like the devil. Amen? You're not set free to go live in sin. You're set free from sin. A radical transformation in your life should lead you into a life of holiness and godliness. Now, if you make a mistake, the grace of God is there and makes it sufficient. But you don't, what this is saying is people have crept into the church and are basically going, well, we're under grace, so just live together in sin. Well, we're under grace, just go do a bunch of drugs. We're under grace, just go and go to temples and worship idols. None of that really matters because our sins have already been forgiven. And this actually says that through that teaching and lifestyle, you are living a lifestyle that denies the Lord Jesus. Because people get really confused about this and going, well, I believe in Jesus. But then they go out and live a lifestyle of sin. And according to this, it says by preaching grace and then living in sin, you're denying your only Master and Lord Jesus. It doesn't say that they're denying with their mouth, because it says they've crept in unnoticed. I'm pretty sure if people crept into here and they're like, you know what? Jesus is not the way, the truth, and the life. I'm pretty sure that's not going to go unnoticed, right? You know, somebody is probably going to come up to me and go, Pastor, you know, so-and-so, they pretty much said Jesus is not the way. That's not going to go unnoticed. But what may go unnoticed is people's lifestyle choices when they're not all gathered together. Amen? So it's not condemnation, but don't let Christ set you free from sin to go out in sin. Amen. Okay, he says, I desire to remind you, though you know all things, I love that. We're actually supposed to know all things. How do we know that? Because the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. But just because we know all things doesn't mean that our soul and body always follow suit. How many times when we're actually committing the act of sin, we know that what we're doing is wrong? So it says that you know all things, but I'm calling to remind you. It's just like today. If I start saying some of this, you guys are amening. Yeah, I know that, Pastor. Yeah, I know that, Pastor. Great. I'm just reminding you, because especially today, where churches, many churches, are not reminding people of what sin is, people all of a sudden are committing it, going, well, I'm not living in sin. I'm not doing anything wrong. So we're actually called as believers not to condemn, but to remind people that sin has not stopped being sin. And we're going to start to get some graphic detail from Jude on going, hey, remember when this happened in the Old Testament? Do you think God is going to spare people that reject Jesus? So let's go on. I do desire to remind you of these things, even though you know them. The Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, remember who led them out of Egypt? Moses. Subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. So you're talking about he took over 1 million people out of Egypt and then literally because of sin slew them in the desert. Poisonous snakes bit them, but then he provided the snake on the pole and they were healed. They wandered for 40 years because they basically grumbled and complained. Do you know one group opposed Moses, grumbled and complained, and literally the earth opened up and swallowed all those people? Because of grumbling and complaining, poisonous snakes kill people. Because of grumbling and complaining, leprosy appeared all over Miriam, and she had to be, which was Moses' sister, and had to be put out of the camp for 7 days because she complained. So if you don't think that God doesn't like complaining, he dealt pretty swiftly with that. And we're going to go on and see why Jude actually deals with this as well. Now, please remember you're in the new covenant. So when you go home today and you go to the gas station and you take out a second mortgage to put gas in your tank, and you start to complain about our current president that doesn't know what he's doing, don't complain. I'm pretty sure the ground's not going to open up and swallow you because you are under grace, but that still doesn't mean that gives you the right to complain. I'm preaching to myself. I've gone back through some of my Facebook posts. I'm like, I should not have posted that. So I'm learning with you, okay? It says, so God subsequently destroyed people who didn't believe in the Old Testament. And it says, angels who did not keep their own domain but abandoned their proper abode. He has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. It's talking about angels that followed Satan in the fall. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they, in the same way as they indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh. What is he talking about here? Sexual perversion. In the Bible, it says they exchanged the natural use of a woman and burned in desire with each other, and so they will receive the due penalty in themselves. What is that talking about? Homosexuality. Now again, if you are somebody who struggles with same-sex attraction, I'm not mad at you. I love you. But the idea that that is somehow naturally from God is a lie from the devil. Because there's some people that say that they have attraction to small children. Should we let them act on their impulses? I don't think so. And I would think if you're a parent, you should be really against that. So just because that feeling is there doesn't mean it's correct. If you've been coming here long enough, you know the phrase that I tell you is, who cares how you feel? Because your feelings are in your soulish realm, and your soul is subject to sin. Amen? Okay. So just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way indulged in gross immorality, went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? Burned. Fire and brimstone fell from the sky and consumed the entire city. And it is a picture of the hell that awaits people that do not believe on the Lord Jesus. I know this isn't a happy message today, but this is from Jude. Sometimes we skip over books like Jude and want to go right to the grace and mercy and love stuff. That is all good. But make no mistake, when God returns, everyone is not going to heaven. Okay. I just want to, again, I'm telling you the truth. Okay, so it says, yet in the same way, these men also by dreaming defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic majesties. But Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. So even Michael the archangel didn't feel that he had the authority to rebuke the devil. So he said, the Lord rebuke you. And it's talking about, again, staying humble, staying in the place and the realm of your own authority. Because what Jude is talking about is angels that have left their proper abode. He's talking about people that are just engaging in every little thing that tweaks their flesh. And so he's now giving examples. It says, but these men revile the things which they do not understand and the things which they know by instinct like unreasoning animals. By these, they are destroyed. You ever heard the phrase, if it feels good, do it? That is an unreasoning animal. That's what animals do. Are we clear on that? You know, that's not what we go off of. We are a people of faith. We have a mind that we can actually reason about things of God. But the whole idea of like, well, I have these impulses, so I must act on them. God is saying that is animalistic. That's pretty harsh, right? But it's truth. Because people are destroying themselves for a lack of understanding of the things of God. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain. What did Cain do? He killed his brother for jealousy. And for pay, they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam. If you don't know who Balaam is somebody who actually was receiving money to prophesy against the people of Israel. So he was literally taking a gift from God and using it for pay. And please don't compare that to people that like are evangelists and come in and receive a love offering. That's not what was going on. He was actually prophesying against Israel. And he actually, Balaam used a thing where he lured the Israelites in with foreign women to have them commit sexual immorality and so that they could try to breed out the Israelites. Those were things that were going on. But Balaam did it all for money. And perished in the rebellion of Korah. Korah was the one that stood against Moses, and the earth opened up and swallowed him and everybody that stood with him. These are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feasts. When they feast with you without caring, when they feast with you without fear, they care only for themselves, clouds without water, carried along by wind, meaning basically, you know, whatever floats your boat, whichever way we blow in the breeze. Autumn trees without fruit, listen to this, doubly dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea casting up their own shame like foam. They are wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. This is pretty scary stuff. Verse 14, it was also about these men that Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So this whole book is talking about we need to be loving on people, we need to be giving people Jesus, we need to be doing all of this because make no mistake, those who do not turn to the Lord, this is what is coming. And whether you believe that Jesus will come in your lifetime, I guarantee you it's more closer than when Jude wrote this 2,000 years ago. Now, after it listed all of these things, right? These are reefs in your love feast. These are spots. These are waterless clouds. Look what he actually says they are, what they're doing. These are grumblers. How many of you in here have ever grumbled? Jude is talking about you. That's all right. We're having some major conviction today. You can always have repentance. Okay, so these are grumblers. That word literally means murmurers in the Greek. And it's basically like people that just basically kind of whisper under their breath. Oh, did you see what that person was wearing today? Did you hear it's supposed to be cold again today? That's a murmur. Oh, when I was over at so-and-so's house, did you know what they said? And it's just these little whispers. So it says, these are grumblers, finding fault or fault finders. I actually looked this word up in the Greek also, and it doesn't just mean finding fault. In the Greek, the whole compound word is literally described as blaming others for your situation. You think that happens today? Well, I don't have the opportunities that other people have because of my skin color. Well, I feel like I'm a second-class citizen because of my gender. I feel somewhat less because so-and-so has a bigger house than I do. This finding fault literally means that we blame other people or other circumstances because of the situation that we're in. Well, I might make better money if my boss wasn't such a fill-in-the-blank. That's listed on here as fault finding. I believe pointing out other people's faults all the time is also a sin, but that's not what this Greek word means. This literally means blaming other people or other circumstances because of the circumstance that you're in. Well, this wouldn't happen if gas prices weren't so high. It's fault finding. I'm learning with you. I'm repenting as I'm saying it, okay? I don't want you to think that I'm up here lecturing you guys. When I read this, I didn't want to teach this. I'm like, Lord, I have a lot of repenting to do. Okay, so grumbling, fault finding, it says following after their own lusts. And that doesn't just mean sexual lust. That means your motivation is to acquire things. Your motivation is, yeah, I know that this money could probably be spent to better things, but I want this. And it's not just money either. It could be a career. Well, I know that the Lord has called me to such and such an area, but my job is moving me over here, so I have to go because I need the money instead of actually consulting with the Lord and see if he's released you from that area. Do you know how many times as a pastor I have people walk in this door and walk out with ever not a word? And why? I'm going to be bold here, because people are following after their own lusts. I'm not saying everybody has to come to church at Seven Mountains, but I always ask people, what did the Lord say? Has the Lord told you this, or are you offended? Has the Lord told you this, or do you just like the way that the pastor down the road dresses better than me? See, I'm all dressed up today because I didn't have to play drums. But I'm serious. Like, think about it. How people, well, you know what? I don't really like the worship songs they do. Well, who cares how you feel? What is the Lord? And that's really what all of this is about. And I'm going to wrap up. What Jude is saying, what is the Lord saying to you? It's not, what do you feel? It's not, which way are you leaning? It's not, well, the world is going this way, so I must go. Because look, it even talks about people that follow the world. It says, but you, beloved, in verse 17, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus. They were saying to you, in the last time. Everybody say last time. Because this is what we're in. If they were in it when Jude said it 2,000 years ago, we are surely in it today. There will be mockers following after their own ungodly lust. There's that same phrase again, people that follow after their lust. It doesn't just mean sexual lust. It means people that go their own way soulishly and are not people who are led by the Spirit. These are the ones who cause divisions. Worldly minded. That literally means that you agree and flow with the philosophies of this culture. That's what it means. If God says, this is wrong, or this is what you're supposed to do, and you're like, yeah, but culture is saying this, so we need to adapt with culture, you're worldly minded. Devoid of the Spirit. Jude is saying, if you are someone who is led all the time by your flesh, by your carnal instincts, like unreasoning animals, you do not have the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is our comforter, he's our counselor, and he is the power of God in us. Amen? But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. I don't have time to teach on this today, but he's talking about praying in tongues. I'm not going to get in a debate of, well, praying in tongues is a gift. Yes, speaking in tongues is a gift, but praying in tongues is another matter. I promise I will teach on that sometime because people are always super confused about that. Because why would Jude say, build yourself up on your most holy faith by praying in tongues? And some of you are reading this going, yeah, but it says praying in the Holy Spirit. Again, I've got a teaching that talks about every time, and there's only three times that it mentions the term praying in the Holy Spirit always means praying in tongues. Thank you for those two amens. But I will be standing over here if you have questions about that after service. But you, beloved, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out from the fire. That is our job. We are supposed to be preaching the word and snatching people out of hell. Amen? And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Do you understand that God was glorious before time and space existed? He has always been and he always will be. We are the creation that came and time and space came into existence because we don't know how to operate outside of time. That's a whole nother teaching too. But what I wanted to come across today, again, some of you are just feeling like, oh man, like I need like a spiritual shower. I just feel icky after all of that. But listen, if we are not growing as believers, then we're becoming stagnant and dying. We need to realize that just because we're not murdering anybody and just maybe because we're not fornicating and maybe because, you know, we're not buying into all of this other kind of stuff that's going on in the world, we think that we're doing pretty good. If you are complaining about situations, it doesn't even just mean to people. If you are complaining about situations, this is a sin. If you're murmuring and whispering about other people, it's a sin. If you are saying, I am in the situation I'm in, I can't pay my rent, I can't do this, I can't drive my car because gas prices are so high, and it's all Joe Biden's fault. Or it's all Putin's fault. That is listed as a sin. Instead of going, man, you know what? I'm thankful I have a car. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful that I have money that I can go and put gas in my car. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful that I, even though my property taxes are through the roof, praise God, I have a house and a bed that I come home to. I can control the temperature in that environment and sleep in my comfortable bed every single night. See, it's not that the situations are bad. We're not in denial about high gas prices or high property taxes or that basically under this regime, America's going down the toilet. I'm not under any idea that that's not true. But the question is, are we spending our days whining and griping and complaining about it? There's a simple solution. First of all, pray. And second of all, go cast a vote. It's very simple. There's a primary coming up. Go cast a vote. This is not some deep spiritual experience. People, we just talked about last week, people died so that you could do that. Cast a vote. Don't grumble and complain. Cast the vote. Well, they stole the last election. They may steal future elections. It doesn't matter. Is your Savior still Jesus? Does he still sit on the throne? Is he still your provider? Is he still your healer? Is he still your Savior? We need to get the focus off of all of this other stuff that is being distracting, because I'm not against being patriotic, but if your patriotism, if what you tend to find that you're talking about all the time is Americanism and patriotism and all of our rights being taken away, and you're talking about that more than you're talking about the Lord, that is an idol in your life. You will never change the system. Jesus lived under a regime where Rome ruled the Jews. They didn't have a crummy government or crummy people in government. They were ruled and owned by the Jews. A Roman could kill a Jew like that. He doesn't have to have any kind of authority, I mean, any kind of permission to do it. If the Jew isn't doing what you want to, done. So do you think that Jesus lived in an oppressive environment? And he, if you read the scriptures, hardly ever talked about it. There was a group called the Zealots that were literally people who were rebelling against the government, against Rome. Jesus actually converted one of them so that they would stop being a zealot. Simon the Zealot, yes, whoever said that, very good. Now, does that mean that we don't care at all? No, I'm saying cast your vote, educate yourself, but if your whole demeanor changes of this gas price and who's sitting in the Oval Office and we've got to unthrone these people and all of that kind of stuff, and your whole world is revolved around that, I'm telling you in love, your faith is not in Christ. Jesus didn't concern himself with things. One time he called Herod a fox in the Bible. That was it. But Jesus realized that his mission was to pull people out of hell, which is what you just said to do. That's our mission, pulling people out of hell. Todd White, if you ever follow him, he used to yell, "Destroy hell!" I love that. That's what we're supposed to be here, on earth, destroying hell. Destroying people's hellish lives, bringing them out of ridiculousness like gender confusion and CRT and all of these other ungodly things that just put the blame on someone else instead of taking responsibility for your own actions and following Christ, who will lead you into all things. That's not a popular message to teach, but it is the power of God. And if we would all get that, and what did it say at the end, even it was all this terrible stuff, oh, this is going to happen to the ungodly and this and this and this, but how did it end? But you, beloved, build yourself up on your most holy faith. Pray in the Spirit. Keep yourself in the love of God. Don't leave the realm of the love of God. Then your mission will always be people and pulling them out of hell. Amen?